In one room, three spacesuits were hung on the wall. A photograph of a stuffed animal, a monkey, was taped to the wall next to one of them, with a caption that read, "Monkey Face, Flight Commander, Starship Barbado." In another room, an inflatable, life-size plastic female in a lacy black bikini sat on the floor, propped up against the wall. Ralph walked past each of these items without comment. In the Situation Room, there was a machine labeled Antimatter Reactor. Ralph took a stack of audio tape cassettes from a shelf and went back into the Moon Room. "Well," he said, "are you ready for liftoff?" Ralph sat cross-legged on the floor next to a boombox. He shuffled through the cassettes. "Let's see, what'll it be? Apollo 11? That's the first manned moonshot. You know, Neil Armstrong and One Small Step for a Man, One Giant Leap for Mankind. Here's Apollo 12, pretty good. Apollo 13, I guess we'll skip that one. They had to abort the lunar landing, only orbited the moon and came home. We want a lunar landing as well as a liftoff, don't we?" He looked over at me. "Sure," I said. I had taken a seat on the floor as well. "Apollo 14, he went on. "That's when Alan Shepard hit a couple of golf balls after he landed on the moon. Apollo 15, Shepard was back at the control center in Houston. Let's do that one." Ralph put the cassette into the boombox, pressed the play button, and leaned back against the wall. The tape began with the ultra-calm voice of Mission Control intoning the familiar mantra, "T-minus 2 minutes and counting." We sat quietly, listening to the staccato back and forth between Houston and the astronauts. Then came the countdown. 10, 9, 8, ignition sequence started. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Launch coming up. We have liftoff. "Damn," said Ralph. The roar of the rockets burst through the speakers with a massive violence that seemed likely to rupture them. Even so, Ralph turned up the volume. Throbbing sound waves pounded my eardrums and sent vibrations humming in the walls and floors. As the noise of the rockets began to fade, Ralph lifted his gaze from the boombox. My ears popped at the sudden drop in air pressure. "How often do you do this?" I asked. "Oh, I've had liftoffs at 3 in the morning. Telephones start ringing, the neighbors call. Occasionally my sister Pat freaks out."
"Is that why you do it?"
"No. I do it because it gives me hope. I imagine it's the Starship Barbado soaring out of the atmosphere and taking the nuclear fire codes to Mars. I wrote a letter to Bill Clinton offering to be the first person to go to Mars with the fire codes and not come back. It took a lot of courage to do that, you know, because people might have thought I was crazy."
"Did Clinton write back?" I asked.
"Not yet. I sent Boris Yeltsin an artwork entitled The 12 Apostles from Planet Mars, but I haven't had a response from him yet either. It can be discouraging at times. That's when I come here for a liftoff." On the tape, Apollo 15 was drawing farther away from Earth. We sat in the blue-white glow of Ralph Curtis's moon room, listening to the conversations between Houston and the spacecraft, interspersed with tiny beeps. Apollo 15 would shortly be going into its Earth orbit phase. Ralph pressed the fast-forward button. "Bear with me for a few minutes," he said. "We'll go right to the lunar landing." When he resumed play, the voice of Mission Control was saying, "They're at 5,000 feet now." Fast forward. 1,200. Fast forward. 80, 40, 20, 15, 10, 6, 3. Contact. "Damn," said Ralph.